scripture readings this morning, and the first one is from the Old Testament. It comes from Genesis 15. Listen and hear about the amazing things that God can do. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, for I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will thou give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, thou hast given me no offspring, and a slave born in my house will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number the stars. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from the Ur of Chalcedonians to give you this land and to possess. And the Lord, and thanks be to God. I'm sorry, this is a different translation than what I'm used to reading. So thanks be to God for this holy word, this translation. And then we're going to read from the New Testament, Mark chapter 6, verses 45-52. Now, the Lord has just done an amazing thing. He took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. And you'd think that would be enough. But here I have another amazing story right after that. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the 4th watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to bypass them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, Take heart, it is I. Have no fear. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded. They were amazed, for they did not understand about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Thanks be to God for this, his holy word. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we come before you thankful for your word. We have opened the Bible and read those words. Now open our hearts, Lord, and let us hear what you want us to hear. Transform us, Lord. Amen. Well, greetings to you again in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus on behalf of Pittsburgh Presbytery and the Crestfield staff and the Crestfield ministry team. As always, it is such a delight to be here with you this morning. I love getting the email saying, Leonard's on vacation, can you come? I'm glad that Leonard's on vacation. I'm glad that I get to come. Thank you, all of you, for your heartfelt support of Crestfield Camp and Conference Center, your Camp and Conference Center up in Slippery Rock. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for sending 2 wonderful campers to us this summer. We had Miles and Madeline Baldwin with us this summer, and they were a great part of our community week number 6 up there at camp. It was wonderful having them. you really should be very proud of them. They know a lot. They are God's children. You know, up near Slippery Rock by Crestfield last week was one of the greatest fireworks displays ever. Maybe you saw about it on the news. It was a week-long exhibition. Every night there was fireworks, and each night fireworks got better than the night before. The police put signs on Route 79 because people were stopping on the sides of the roads to look at the fireworks. So when that happened, then people were parking in cornfields to look at fireworks. Every night there was a huge bang, bang. One night I thought, oh my goodness, what is this? And I am sure there were lots of oohs and ahs after each one of those bangs. Fireworks, a beautiful bride, a rainbow, the hallelujah chorus. Hearing that the Pirates have won another and may not have a losing season. Looking at that beautiful baby over there and the love in mom's and grandmom's eyes. Doesn't that just bring ooh and ah right from the depths of your souls? These experiences provoke the sense of joyful awe or amazement or wonder. Ordinary events of everyday life can be particularly eliciting these feelings of awe and wonder in children. I remember when my sons oohed in awe over blowing bubbles, when they oohed in awe over the waves in the ocean. When they oohed and awed over playing that simple game of hide and seek. Peek-a-boo, peek-a-boo. Curiosity is piqued about the novel and the unexpected. This powerful phenomena promotes the development of imagination, of memory, and even of spiritual growth. In such a time of technology in which we live with our iPads and iPhones and cell phones and Kindles, no matter our age, all of us need some awe and wonder in our lives. We think that as humans, we are dominant and we're in control. Awe and wonder can help us to realize the presence of God in our lives. With awe and wonder, there is the comprehension that there really is a God, and that God is bigger than us, all sovereign, all knowing, full of amazing grace that Shawnee sang about, and that that God is the only source of power in our lives. With these realizations, we may even desire a deeper, fuller relationship with our triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible is full of stories of awe and wonder. And oftentimes these stories of awe and wonder happen in the outdoors. God's creation is an amazing place and space where wonder and awe just happen so spontaneously. Imagine in the Old Testament passage that we just read. Imagine the awe and wonder that Abraham experiences. Abraham's an old man without any children. And children were a blessing that carried on the family name and participated in the family's business. Children were necessary to help support the family's daily needs. And not having any children was dishonoring. And here is poor old Abraham without any descendants. So imagine being told by God that children will come to a barren wife, a wife who is at least 80 years old. Not that she is, but June, can you imagine having children right now? She's not that old, though. Children whose numbers will be more than the stars. Can you just imagine that? Having children lay on their backs during evening worship, looking up at the stars, seeing how many stars there are, how far away, yet how bright, helps the child realize how bountiful are God's blessings. How huge God is to create all those stars. How much love God had for Abraham to bless him, not only with the view of the stars, but with descendants that outnumber all of those stars. When was the last time you looked up at the stars in awe and wonder? And just thank God for all of God's blessings in your life. I think, Miles, we did that at camp. Did you go out into the big field one night and we looked around? I'm not asking you to get down on the grass and look around. But just bend your head up some night and look and see all those stars. Looking and being in awe and wonder, it can be a life-changing experience. Now, imagine in the New Testament passage that we just read that Jesus is walking on the water. And imagine the awe and wonder that the disciples experienced. Stranded out on the middle of the lake with the wind blowing hard can be a frightening experience. Working with the oars, and I forgot the oar that I brought. Working with the oars, rowing and rowing and not getting anywhere is scary. Imagine your fright intensifying as what appears to be a ghost walks across the water. No, wait, it's a man. It's a man walking on the water. Well, hey, look, it's Jesus. Jesus is actually walking on the water. He's coming closer and closer. He's turning toward the disciples. He's getting in the boat with the disciples. And he's telling them, don't be afraid. And as he gets into the boat, the winds calm. The disciples were amazed, filled with awe, wondering, how could this be? The scriptures tell us that those disciples didn't get it when Jesus had just fed those 5,000 men plus the women and children. So imagine and wonder just how amazed and awed they were to have seen Jesus walking on the water. Oh, come on, they had to get it now. Their awe and wonder had to lead to their understanding of just who Jesus was. Jesus was the Son of God. Campers and retreaters can be amazed when they are able to float a canoe on the creek or the lake. Maybe they're amazed to just swim in the pool. They are certainly amazed even to take a walk in the creek. But a man actually walking on the water, imagining how much Jesus cared about the disciples to walk on the water, to climb into the boat and calm the water is just unbelievable. Imagining in awe and wonder stretches our faith, helps us to realize how immense, how big God's love is for us. Do you really realize how deep God's love is for you? John Calvin is certainly right when he writes in the Institute that the Lord rendered many things attractive to us. It is through this rendering that we experience awe and wonder, and we can know of God and feel God's presence with us. It is experiencing the light of the morning sunshine breaking through the darkness of night that we have a general revelation of God. It is by hearing, feeling, seeing the water flow over the rock in the creek that we can sense the presence of God. It is by seeing the deer running through the field that we feel God with us. Just yesterday morning, afternoon, my husband and I were sitting out on our new porch, and across the road was a baby deer and two little Bambis running behind it. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that. It is by watching the sunset with all the colors of the rainbow unfolding that we can have that aha moment that God is present with us and is a personal God for us in all of God's goodness. It is through experiencing God's creation that we can know of God and draw closer to God. This past summer, on several occasions, I had the pleasure and the joy to lead the Friday Bible study. Our passage for that day were selected verses from Ephesians. It's verses where Paul is telling Christians how to live a life worthy of God's calling. They really are deep words that require thought and introspection and time with God to understand them. Time with God to realize how one's own life needs to change to live into those words. I was with a bunch of seventh graders, and after we read the passage, the youth went off for 20 minutes of silence with God, to listen for God and to be with God. When we came back together to debrief this time of silence, I was amazed at how many of the youth were just in awe about God's creation after spending only 20 minutes in silence. At first, there were bugs and insects that were all around them, and they were seen as nuisances that just had to be swatted away. But within that 20 minutes, silently those nuisance bugs became intricate works created by God. The previously disturbing noise of birds chirping in the background, well, in that 20 minutes with God, became a soothing symphony to the soul. Awe and wonder abounded in these youth with just 20 minutes of silence, alone time with God in God's creation. Life can be overwhelming. None of us can deny that. Obligations and responsibilities to work, to school, to church can come tumbling down upon us. We too can feel that we are out there right in the middle of that lake, late at night, rowing, and not getting anywhere. But taking the time to wonder and to stop and to look for Jesus can provide true healing for each of our souls. Being in awe about all that God has done for us provides a healing balm that draws us closer to Christ. Looking up and seeing an immense amount of stars in amazement and wonderment can lift away that sense of feeling overwhelmed. We all need the opportunity to get away to the mountaintop, just as Jesus did. Just as Maddie and Miles did. It's time to soak in God's creation. And then just as Jesus and the disciples continued their ministry of healing and teaching when they landed and anchored at Gennesaret after that tumultuous night on the lake, so we have to come back to our own ministry at work, at home, at school, and in the community. And be more vibrant. And what happens when we get home? God is going to use us. Some way, somehow, God is going to use us. God will use the gifts that God has given to us, and God will use us. God will then send us out into our communities with the vibrancy that we left the mountaintop with, and use us to transform and change others. I mean, look. God used a barren old woman and her old, impatient, disbelieving husband and created descendants more numerous than the stars. God used those disciples who were rowing to nowhere, and they became apostles and spread the good news of the gospel to so many. In both passages, we are reassured. In both passages, God tells us not to be afraid. God the Father in the Old Testament passage proclaims to Abraham, "Don't be afraid." Jesus the Son tells the disciples, "Don't be afraid." Do not be afraid. Imagine that. These words are real and awesome and wonderful. Don't be afraid were words that God made real to Abraham as he fathered a nation and explored many lands. don't be afraid, were powerful words that the disciples lived by after Jesus left them. So, as we prepare to leave this place, to go out into the community, out into our world, let us not only imagine God's words to us, don't be afraid, but let us know that God's words are real, that God is with us now and forever. So that filled with awe and wonder, we can serve the Lord in the mission fields of our communities, sharing the love of Christ to all. And that sharing should bring a huge, to God and to all. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.